people come to us. And they will, too. You know the crowds we're getting now? Howell's plays are famous.
It's not my plays, Howell had said. It's the players.
I can't see me sitting by a fire in a stuffy room and sleeping on feather beds and all that nonsense, said Vitola.
But he'd seen the look on his wife's face and had given in. And then there had been the theatre itself. Making water run uphill was a parlour trick compared to getting cash out of Vitola, but it was a fact that they had been doing well these days. Ever since Tom John had been big enough to wear a ruff and say two words without his voice cracking. Howell and Vitola had watched the first few beams of the wooden framework go up.
It's against nature,
Vitola had complained, leaning on his stick.
Capturing the spirit of the theatre, putting it in a cage, it'll kill it.
Oh, I don't know, said Howell diffidently.
Tom John had laid his plans well. He'd devoted an entire evening to Howell before even broaching the subject to his father, and now the dwarf's mind was on fire with the possibilities of backdrops and scenery changes and wings and flies and magnificent engines that could lower gods from the heavens and trapdoors that could raise demons from hell. Howell was no more capable of objecting to the new theatre than a monkey was of resenting a banana plantation.
"Damn thing hasn't even got a name,"
Vitola had said.
"I should call it the gold mine, because that's what it's costing me. Where's the money going to come from? That's what I'd like to know."
In fact, they'd tried a lot of names, none of which suited Tom John. "It's got to be a name that means everything," he said. "Because there's everything inside it. The whole world on a stage, do you see?" And Howell had said, knowing as he said it, that what he was saying was exactly right.
The disc.
And now the disc was nearly done, and still he hadn't written the new play. He shut the window and wandered back to his desk, picked up the quill, and pulled another sheet of paper towards him. A thought struck him. The whole world was a stage. To the gods. Presently he began to write.
All the disc, it is but a theatre, he wrote, and all men and women are but players.
He made the mistake of pausing, and another inspiration sleeted down, sending his train of thought off along an entirely new track. He looked at what he'd written and added,
except those who sell popcorn.
After a while he crossed this out and tried,
like unto the stage of a theatre is the world, whereon all persons strut as players.
This seemed a bit better. He thought for a bit and continued conscientiously,
sometimes they walk on, sometimes they walk off.
He seemed to be losing it. Time, time. What he needed was an infinity. There was a muffled cry and a thump from the next room. Howell dropped the quill and pushed open the door cautiously. The boy was sitting up in bed, white-faced. He relaxed when Howell came in.
Howell?
What's up, lad? Nightmares?
God, it was terrible. I saw them again. I really thought for a minute that...
Howell, who was absent-mindedly picking up the clothes that Tom John had strewn around the room, paused in his work. He was keen on dreams. That was when the ideas came.
That what?
He said. It was like... I mean... I was sort of inside something. Like a bowl. And there were these three terrible faces peering in at me.
I?
Yes. And then they all said, all hail. And then they started arguing about my name. And then they said... Anyway, who shall be king hereafter? And then one of them said, hereafter what? And one of the other two said, just hereafter, girl. That's what you're supposed to say in these circumstances. You might try and make an effort. And then they all...